So, if you need to use them.
It's no bucket.
No,
it's not a bucket thing.
No, I got them.
They're decoys.
I did start the recording.
Alrighty, so if you'll turn to the Bible, to 2 Peter 3, if you want to follow along the Bible, you don't have one, there should be someone in shooting distance of you. And feel free to take it home.
And if you're not Bible shop, then we can teach you.
2 Peter chapter 3. This morning, I guess the introduction, the segue, is the question of when is the end time coming? Isn't it a fascinating question? People are always asking that one. People have honest answers. People have sincere answers. And people have just out there answers. And the Bible has a lot to say about it. And it can be very challenging, if not mysterious, trying to figure it out. But really, whether you're a Christian or not, the whole world is asking that question. I mean, they make movies about it, right? We go watch those movies about the end time coming and this great destruction. You know, we're fascinated with it. And yet, if we look across the whole landscape of people asking and listening to that question, how serious are they really asking the question? I want to look at that just a little bit this morning. 2 Peter 3, verse 3. Know this, first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, where is this promise of his coming? Forever, since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. So what are they saying? Peter is telling us, one of the signs of the end times approaching, we're in the last days, we're approaching the end times. One of those signs is this question will become the predominant belief. In other words, they're saying, we don't believe your Bible, because if your Bible were true, this would have happened already. I mean, look, day in and day out, you've been telling me he's coming for me, but he hasn't arrived. So all I see is for year after year, thousands of years, it just continues on like nothing is going to happen. Nothing has changed. Where is his coming? Is this really going to happen? And so, you know, I kind of pose the question to us, among us. You know, does it seem like to you that God is not doing what he said he's going to do? Does it seem to you maybe that, well, maybe they have a point? You know, this it hasn't happened yet. Life keeps going on. And what I want to give you this morning is a little insight, a little revelation of maybe how we can look at what is happening and discern, you know, is this a sign that the Bible says that the last days are closing up and the end times are coming?
There's a time.
That'll be the perfect time. Right?
Fashionably late.
So, in these last days, the Bible says that there's going to be a lot of apostasy and false teaching. And we all have people that we like, that we don't like, we follow, we don't follow. And what is the result of it? You might be thinking, maybe you think, well, you know, I'm kind of sheltered. You know, I live in Pagosa. I go to a small little mountain church. I really don't encounter this false teaching, and I don't see much apostasy going on. What is that anyway? Well, if you are alive and on Facebook, you are getting doses of false teaching. You're getting some truth teaching too, but you're getting some false teaching.
You got some from me this week.
Yeah.
Seriously.
How's that?
Because I say things like this just to see if people will catch it and throw it back at me. Okay. And so it's like, if you can get a prayer past the ceiling, please pray for me. And then Daniel, as we're coming across the mountain, because we don't have four-wheel drive on our truck, please pray for us. The notion of it, trying to get a prayer past the ceiling and that's how God's going to hear you is completely bogus. And I just wanted to see if anybody was going to catch that and push back.
I caught it. I didn't comment though.
That was grace in action. But you know, if you're on any kind of social media, you're getting it. If you watch any kind of television, you're getting false teaching. If you listen to the radio, you're getting false teaching. I'm not saying everything. I'm just saying it is coming through. And mixed in with the truth is also false teaching.
It also depends what you're sowing tomato to.
Greg's got an issue with the news media. They're always giving their opinion instead of their news.
You know, and sometimes when the news or even government leaders that don't really know the Bible, they're using the Bible to teach us, you know, it comes out wrong. So really, you are encountering false teaching. And if you're not noticing it, I would venture to say it's due to a lack of reading the Bible so that the truth is soaked into you.
Right on.
Well, I saw something on TV this week about that. And this guy keeps a little card on top of his TV. So he will think about what he's watching when he watches it. It's some Bible verse. What about keep your eyes on the higher things in heaven and not the low stuff. So when he's changing channels, he has that thought in mind because it's right in front of him.
We have one, and we have a label on ours that says, "I will set before my eyes no vile thing."
Yeah.
I've got to turn a lot of stuff off.
No such a good teacher as that.
No, and here's the other thing, too. If you're not getting people talk to you about spiritual matters, and even if they're talking to you and telling you the wrong things, you know, start looking. Are you radiating God? Are you speaking about God such that it creates a response in somebody where they want to talk about it? So that's my challenge for us this morning as we go through this. Again, you know, you may have even said wrong things here theologically. I mean, it's okay because we're sharpening each other. But we're together to edify one another. We don't all come in with a degree in Bible. And unfortunately, even if you were coming to church every single week and listening and taking notes, I guarantee you still would not have enough Bible. You have to study it on your own. You know, I just give you a snippet each week.
Yeah, the Bible, the Word of God is the Word of God. It's right there. And there are a lot of theologians that can quote you scriptures from the beginning to the end. But the Bible says the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. So what is the truth? What is written in the Bible is the truth. If we don't have the Holy Spirit, we're going to be led astray. God gives us this discerning spirit.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And, right. We need to lean on Him. Yeah, we need the Bible. We need to lean on the Bible. But the Holy Spirit speaks to us and gives us, "I desire mercy more than sacrifice." That's more important to God. Things like that.
I think I read that in here somewhere too, though.
Yeah, it's in there.
You know, Jesus is the author, think about it, the author of our faith. And He's also the finisher of our faith.
It's easy not to see, you know.
And Joel has been an inspiration to me because he'll tell me about they're watching the show and then this happened, so they had to turn it off. And I'm thinking, well, I watched that show. I didn't even know this, you know. But now I'm starting to know this, and it's amazing. I was just watching this show about IUD, contraceptive thing. And there's this lovely lady walking along, and I looked down, and I saw one hand, I saw one that said, not the right one, and then the other hand, I said, she doesn't have a ring on. I said, ah, that's terrible. You know, and I wouldn't even notice before.
So, we have to press into God, read, pray, as Doug is talking about, we've got to have the Holy Spirit. There's only one way to get that. And I'm going to reveal that to you as we go on. So, if you don't know sound doctrine, in other words, if you don't know the Bible, how can you go and make disciples? Isn't that the one thing that Jesus says is so important? He commanded us before he left to go and make disciples. How are we going to do that if we don't disciple ourselves, we don't read the Bible? All right, so here's the point. Jesus is the point. Everything starts with, ends with, revolves around Jesus. And that's what we're about here. That's what life is about. This is what the end times is about. It's about Jesus. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. So if you're in 2 Peter still, turn to your left a few books to 2 Timothy. And we'll be in chapter 4, verse 3. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. Are you there?
Amen.
For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn their ears away from the truth, and will turn you aside to myths. What Paul is saying to Timothy here is in these last days, people are not going to put up with sound doctrine. In other words, they don't really want to hear what God says in the Bible. They want to hear something else. In fact, they will accumulate teachers. In other words, they will seek out the kind of teachers and teaching that they want to hear, because it reinforces what they want to believe, what they want to hear, not so much what God says. And so that's what that scripture is talking about. And the result of this is they turn aside to myths. They turn aside to things that are not true.
So I know mine's kind of an old one, but it phrases it pretty interestingly. Mine says, but after their own lust, shall they get them a heap of teachers?
A heap of teachers. over the last few weeks, I've been doing some study on YouTube and looking at the whole variety of things that are going on there, and it's really opened my eyes up to what's going on in the world. I was kind of sheltered here, I think. It's just unbelievable. But I also could see how it would be really easy to fall for some of these things because the video is so powerful. So if you don't know the truth, it's real easy to fall for it. And then you turn aside to myths. So, as a Christian, we need to seek out, we need to be in a place where we can be directed to the truth, where we can sharpen one another, where we can discuss. But you can't get it just on Sunday. You have to be reading and studying between weeks. And if you don't quite understand what you're reading, get together with some other people, maybe a Bible study or a discipleship meeting with someone. But you've got to spend time, asking the questions, looking for the answers.
So a wonderful invention of instant messaging.
Even that could work, yes. So what's happening is people, they don't want to hear sound doctrine. And really, what do we see happening across the landscape in the churches? So many of them, the population of the churches is dropping. It's not a cornerstone of our society these days.
So if there's somebody that speaks a lot of truth, but then goes sideways on something that's not like maybe, well, goes sideways on something, okay, then do you, are we supposed to abandon them completely or try to pick and choose what we believe from what they say?
Well, that's a good question. One of the facts is that every false teaching has some truth in it. It may have a lot of truth in it. But, so we have to be discerning to pick out once they depart from the truth. Whether you continue to listen to them is going to have to be up to you and what you're hearing from God.
Well, see, I came to you, a couple years ago about somebody that I was listening to. And then I was like, what is up with this? And then he was teaching about heaven on earth. Remember that? Mm-hmm. That guy? And it was like, I just don't want to have to go to the trash can to rummage around for the good parts of the steak that are left off the bone.
And in this time and age, you don't need to. I mean, there's so much.
That's right. That's right.
Good teaching out there. But it also, this is one of the important reasons of having church, where we get together. All right, so turn with me to the left, just another book, to 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 4. Are you there?
Amen.
Okay. Now, we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed, either by a spirit or a message or a letter, as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. In other words, that Jesus has returned, the rapture has happened. 3, let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come. It will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes a seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. So Jesus is not going to return until this apostasy happens. That's plain as day. The whole world is not going to become Christian and then Jesus come. It's heading the opposite direction. Apostasy. What is apostasy? Apostasy is a departing, a turning away from one's professed faith. We see that in our society big time. I want to give you, if you need something to get started on, as far as what is sound doctrine,
you can just kind of,
we'll just pass them down, and if you want one to take home and read, you can say. If you don't, that's fine too, but if you're looking for something to get started on, you know, what is sound doctrine, what are the basics, what are the ABCs? That's in that booklet. And there's more, but that's a good start. Apostasy. This is one significant thing that has to happen. So, Joel's question, how does one separate the wheat from the chaff? In other words, how do we, you know, dig out of a teaching the good stuff and then spit out the bones? Well, want to give just a few basic tips. The first is you have to read the Bible yourself. This is critical. It may sound boring, but if you don't read the Bible yourself, when somebody tells you, this is what I believe, or this is what God says, or this is how you have to do things, you have no reference to measure it against. There's no way that you can know if it's right or wrong. You might say, well, it feels right, it feels good, it sounds good, but that's what Paul's talking about in the end times. You know, you'll just say, ah, that sounds good, I'm going to go follow that teaching. You know, you're like a boat without a rudder. You can't steer. So you have to read the Bible yourself. Two, you have to build a basic faith. In other words, you need to have some things that you know are true, that you believe, that are biblical. This morning, some of the songs we were singing, you know, I believe, I belong, those things, that is right out of the Bible. That's true. That's a basic faith statement. So you need to try to build that and as convictions that are rooted in the Bible. So my suggestion is, as you're studying, get a little notepad or something and start building that. You know, I believe this. I believe this. Or this thing I have a question about. And write it down and follow up on it later. Once you build that faith statement, then you need to measure everything against that faith statement. Like you, Greg, in my younger days, some of the movies I would watch, I would see nothing wrong with it. I laughed at it. And today, if I were looking at the movie, I'm in shock. How could I possibly find that funny?
Well, that is true. That is.
You know, I get embarrassed. And it's all because, you know, as we grow, as we start to measure the things that we hear and see and say against God's word, against the faith statement, then we begin to say, ah, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't feel right. That makes me uncomfortable. Then we start to have a way of figuring out what the bones are and what the soup is.
Pastor, this morning, Billy was over getting some water and said something about, what was it?
You were talking about Weekend at Bernie's. And I'm like, how could you? I didn't even think you would like Weekend at Bernie's.
Seriously. And I told you I watched it years ago, right?
Yep, years ago.
Okay. And I've gone back to watch some of those movies that I thought were really funny, and I'm a pastor now. It's like, oh my God. You know what I mean?
And that's a good thing. It's not, because then we can feel like, wow, I guess we're growing a little bit. So the fourth one is, drive all of your questions and your pending decisions that you might be putting on your faith statement back to Jesus. You somehow have to drive everything back to Jesus. It needs to somehow connect with him. It needs to start with him. It needs to finish with him. It needs to be about him. Somehow there has to be a connection. Christian, go ahead.
I just want to say, and if you're having trouble with the Bible trying to read it, don't stop there. Go find a different Bible. I had a boss who was a reborn Christian at the Vineyard in California, and just, I called her a Jesus freak at the time. And she, in our parting when we were leaving, and I was going, she gave me a gift inscribed with this Bible, and it sat for 4 or 5 years on my shelf with not a, a dog ear on it until I needed it. And when I needed it badly. My wife was in a coma for 13 days, and it was just over the end. And this Bible was perfect. I mean, it was called the Living Bible, and it taught me how to pray. It revealed to me, and now that thing's just seriously dog-eared. And it's so dog-eared I don't have it anymore because it all fell apart. It's a soft binding, but amen. I've got a new one this year. So some Bibles are way easier to read than the others, and then you can work your way up to harder ones.
That's what I was going to ask you. I noticed just in recent, too, of reading some of the older translations with the New Testament in it, when you get to some of the translations that are beyond the 80s, it feels like when you read between the two, it lost a lot. Like, they summarized it, and you lose something out of the teaching when they summarize it. I was going to ask about that. Is it just the way it's? I mean, does it just seem that way, or is it that way?
Well, I think the reason there's so many translations is because people communicate in ways that are more understandable to certain people. So, you know, we have a nerd of a son who likes the old King James. I don't like reading that. You know, it doesn't communicate to me.
This nerd got your sound working.
Yeah.
There are differences in translations, and I do agree that some of the more modern translations, I think you do lose some of the layers that could be behind the wording and the texts and the that you lose some of that depth.
See, when I read Daniel's Bible, some of the like, you know, when God Himself speaks to you, I mean, you know, when it prophesies it, you can feel Him speak to you in Daniel's Bible. When He speaks to you in the newer Bible, it's little bitty.
Well,
it doesn't seem,
you know,
we can get to one.
You just got to get into God's
Word. I don't have that much money, Daniel.
What I often do is I read out of the, like, New King James mostly. And then when there's something that I'm just like, you know, I know I'm not getting something here, and I'd really like to. And then I go to the Message, and then I feel like it's a little bit light and fluffy a lot of times. But a lot of times it'll just, you know, the Holy Spirit will just, oh, okay, well, invade my mind with a little bit more effort in it. And then there you go. And then the other thing is YouTube, take the verse. Plug it in, okay, and then you'll hear somebody do a 45-minute sermon on that verse, totally bore you to death. But no, that's if you really want to know about something, we in this society can find out for sure, for real.
Well, I mean, if you look at the Bible, it's parentheses. If you look at a basic instruction before leaving Earth, I mean, you know, but who doesn't know that term, you know? And you can refer to the Bible on any question you have on life, really. But when Pastor Mark was talking, I was just. It's like Pastor White was saying. Sometimes you feel like when you read the older translations, you can feel it more if you can understand it. I got lucky and I read Shakespeare growing up, so reading Daniel's version of the Bible is natural to me. But a lot of people can't translate that. So I know what Pastor Mark means, but when you look at it, when you know what they mean here, and then you hear him read out of a newer version, you'll see the paragraphs a lot shorter in Pastor Mark sometimes, mm-hmm. Or there's words that are totally different.
Emily reads hers side by side. If you're online, if you use a Bible app or something on your phone or on your computer, which one do you have? Bible Gateway?
No, I have Bible Gateway.
She had the verse that you were doing up, and just I looked at her phone, and it's got two different, the same verse next to each other, so she reads it in two different. It helps sometimes.
Okay. Quick response. I don't
care.
I'm
here
until 2 or 3 o'clock.
Mark, what you're trying to say is the best version of the Bible is the one you read.
There you go. Oh, very good.
I just want to say, no matter what version I'm reading, I like to say a quick prayer for God to speak to me and give to me the understanding that I need.
Yeah.
I like to study Bible and get it all versions, and I'll give you all the foreword, all the footnotes, explains everything. It's really good. And lately I'm into the Amplified Bible, and they give you a lot of descriptives, and it just explains it better.
Good.
But he tells us to pray for understanding and pray for knowledge. I mean, the Holy Spirit is here to give us that.
Amen.
I mean, it's inside us.
That's what Max Lucado says all the time. Yeah, before you start reading, pray to Max and ask God for His ideas, not your own. And then things will start sinking in, because that's what finally got me to start learning. Because I'm reading it, it's just like reading a book, you know.
All right, so trying to continue on. Christianity has almost become a bad word, but Christianity is the name of the religion that follows its namesake, Christ, Jesus Christ. I know we like to say, I'm not into religion, I'm into relationship. That's all true. But the religion that worships Jesus, follows Jesus, and allows you to have a relationship with God is Christianity. I've run into some people lately that have said, yes, I'm a Christian, but I don't follow Jesus. What? I'm serious. I didn't even have one response.
I think they meant to say they were Jewish.
That's one last time I checked that.
And the church, you know, it's real popular to put the church down these days. It's real popular to say, I am a Christian, but I'm not going to church, and I don't like other Christians. But the church was formed out of the new covenant. Jesus. We didn't have the church before Jesus came. It was a synagogue. A temple. The church was formed when Jesus came. And it's the vessel, if you will, where we gather together and learn about God and participate in God. And that Jesus is coming back to get the church. The church is his bride. So we need the church. But the apostasy that's going on presently in the world of leaving the church, and it comes in every flavor under the sun of why you shouldn't go to church, that's why I think we're seeing this sign of the end times arriving soon, the apostasy. Here's the number one big fact. Jesus Christ is the head of this church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. It's not my church. I'm not the head of the church. I'm an under shepherd. Jesus is the head of the church. And that's the way it should be. So when you come to worship, you're looking past me to Jesus. When you come and you bring tithes and offerings, you're bringing them to Jesus. On and on. When you sing, you're singing to Jesus. Jesus is the point.
Amen.
All right, so a little bit of sound doctrine. Again, like I said, we can't get it all in 1 week, and even if you came every single week, you wouldn't have it. God the Father. We sang a little bit earlier, but we believe that there's one living and true God, eternally existing in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. They're equal in power and glory, and they uphold all and govern all. So Jesus is the point. Now, what's the attack to that belief statement? There's all kinds of attacks, but just a few of them that you've probably heard, maybe you even felt, is there's no such thing as the Trinity. There's no such thing as the triune God. That's an attack on the God of the Bible. Another one is, we must save ourselves by our own effort and obedience. Not going to happen. So that comes in all kinds of flavors. So if you hear that, your ear should perk up and say, well, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. I better dig into the Bible and find what is right. Another one. He's an angry God. What? He's a God of love. I mean, yeah, he can get angry, but he's not an angry God. And he doesn't answer prayer. Do we not hear that? He doesn't answer prayer. That's an attack on who God is. We believe in God the Son. We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, conceived by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the Father. It was not Joseph. We believe in his virgin birth, his sinless life, miracles and teaching, his substitutionary atoning death for us, for our sins. And we believe that he's coming again. It's not going to be some unseen thing. When he returns, it's going to be dramatic.
And the whole world.
You know, yeah. I mean, think of billions of people disappearing from the observation of those that are left behind. It's going to be dramatic. We, you know, if you just think about it, what is that going to be like? You know, have you ever been praying for something and desiring something for years, and then all of a sudden when it happens, you, wow, it's happening. This is hard to believe. Is it really happening? You know, ever anybody have that?
Yep.
Yeah. And that's what it's going to be like. We've been living our life planning on Him returning and saying it and singing it. And when it happens, and when we're going up in the air, wow, it's really happening. But what's the attack on that? Jesus never said He was God. He's a myth. He did not resurrect. He will not torment those in hell forever. He isn't God. He was a man. We will be judged by how good we were. We will be given one more chance to believe on Jesus and get out of hell. Well, that chance ends the day that we physically die. You have until then to make that choice. Maybe it needs to be today. God the Spirit. There are so many arguments about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a divine person. And the Bible says and describes how He comes and takes up residence in us. And remember I said I'm going to tell you the one way that you can get the Holy Spirit to take up residence in you? Here it comes. You confess that you're a sinner and you accept Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. You acknowledge Him. And you become a follower of Christ. And then He gives you the Holy Spirit. That's the one way. So if you want to know truth, if you want to know what truth is, if you want to know what is coming and when it's coming and recognize it when it's coming, if you want to make sure that you have eternal life, that's the way you enter into it. That's the way you receive it. You might be thinking to yourself, oh, but God knows how bad I am. Yeah, He does. And He's still inviting you. So say yes. So, as I said earlier, to get sound doctrine, this is just 101, like that little brochure passed out, that's sound doctrine 101. 201 might be this, if anybody has a desire to dig a little deeper, 201 here. And as I said, you can't come to church each week and feel like you're going to know the Bible well enough. You got to do more. And I don't know. I guess what I feel like is church is not long enough. Actually, what I love about this church is we get together for 2 or 3 hours and people are here and they're into it. I love it. Most churches, you get in there and you're in there for an hour and you're gone. And I feel like after a couple hours here, we're still not done. We don't have enough.
Oh, man, only after an hour today.
The participatory nature of your service, because I have never been in a church where you could interact with the pastor during the teaching and have things clarified. Like, people are catching everybody, you know, each other in other churches. That's, we can say that.
Yeah. Rush talks for 3 hours. Okay, come on.
I think you haven't been in a church to sing Jesus was a rock star.
Right. You know, that's why I'm one day I've never left.
So, you know, the simple thing where it all starts, just remember that Jesus is the point. You know, you start hearing things, remember that Jesus is the point. Jesus. You know, how does this connect to Jesus? And you'll begin to get some revelation and understanding. And knowledge and wisdom. All right, a couple more basics. Man's relationship with God. We get together each week, and we're interacting with God. He's here. The Holy Spirit is here when we gather. Frankly, I don't understand how a Christian with the Holy Spirit in him or her wouldn't want to come to a place where other Christians are with the Spirit. It's like the Holy Spirit is saying, you know, come on, let's get in with the other people with the Holy Spirit.
Well, we are the church. I mean, we're the church.
Yeah. So we need to gather. So, you know, when you're thinking about Sunday morning church, and you're thinking, this kind of sounds kind of boring. I could be watching football or, you know, whatever. Just be thinking about your brothers and sisters. And, you know, we get together, we have fun, we talk about things that we need to talk about. Things happen. We grow.
Blessings abound.
Amen. So, Jesus is the point. He is how we get connected with God. He is how we get connected with the Father. It's through Jesus, and it's only through Jesus. Therefore, Jesus is the point. The Bible. The Bible is God's Word. It is a living Word, and it has the ability to penetrate our heart. The Word, the Bible even says it can penetrate our bone and down to our marrow. I mean, it's living. It's not like when you read a book, it's those words aren't alive. But if you read the Bible and you have God's Spirit in you and you pray and ask God to reveal, open your eyes, you start to see it come alive. If you said the Bible is boring, it doesn't make any sense to me, it has no value to me, it doesn't really teach me anything, it doesn't really change my life. Well, or maybe you're reading it, approaching it ill-equipped. We, you know, stop and pause. If you have doubts about God, if you have doubts about Jesus, you know, get your relationship with him right first. Say, God, okay, I understand. I can't do this on my own. I can't know it all. I can't understand this. You know, help me. I'm a wretched man. Save me. You know, show me. And he will. I guarantee it.
He does.
He will. So, if our relationship with God is through Jesus, the Holy Spirit draws us. We read the Word. In this church, we read a lot of the Word while you're here. And that connects us with God spiritually. When we pray, you know, the Holy Spirit is taking that prayer and it comes back and reveals to us, here's what God says. The regular worship service. This is important for us to get together. You know, some Sundays I might feel like a little low in energy and, you know, I'm not quite sure I really want to go. I'm just not, you know, fired up yet. But when I come in and all of you start coming in and you have the Holy Spirit in you, I start getting fired up. You know, all of a sudden I feel like, yeah, I'm glad I came. I hope you feel that way too. And remember that feeling. And when we come, again, when we're here, Jesus is the point. Jesus is the point. That's who we're worshiping. And that's why we're here. That's how we are able to love each other. Only because of Jesus. Only because of the love. It's a supernatural love that he puts in us that allows us to love others. So, back to apostasy. What is apostasy? Apostasy is an abandonment of what one has professed. So when the Bible says there's going to be this great apostasy, in part it means people that were in the church building that professed Jesus as Lord with their mouth, but not really with their heart, they're going to say, you know, I got something better to do on Sundays. Yeah, I'm going to go do that. They're going to say, you know, I don't like church. I don't need church. I don't like Christians. Whatever excuse it is. And the thing I keep coming back to, who does not want you to come to church? The devil. The devil. Yeah. It's so simple. So here's another sign that we will be recognizing is happening when the last days are closing up, end times are getting ready to come. Turn to 2 Timothy. I'm not sure where we left you, but 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, this is a description of how people will be in this time of apostasy. Are you there? 2 Timothy 3? But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. So, things are not going to get easier for us. I hate to say that because I like to take joy in having a positive message. But I'm sorry. Difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable. In other words, no matter how you talk to them and pray and confess, they will not reconcile. They will not come back into fellowship. Have you had relationships with people like that? They, you know, you get sideways, and then no matter what you try to do, they will not reconcile. They don't want to. They will be malicious gossips without self-control, brutal, haters of good. You know, don't you find that's kind of hard to understand? How can somebody hate good? They're out there. Yeah. Treacherous, reckless, conceited. Conceited. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now think about that. We can all approach the boundary on that one. You know, I can't go to church today. I can't get together with my brothers and sisters. You know, I've got this other thing that is going to give me a lot more pleasure. I'm going to go do that. And finally, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, avoid such men as these. The fact of the matter is, as the last days wind up, this is how the world is going to look. I look at our society, and I see all of this dissension, this arguing back and forth, this fighting. I see even within, you know, states and then counties and then even communities, there's so much argument and fighting and back and forth. And if you get onto your Facebook communities or whatever social media you're on, you see it. Nothing but fighting back and forth. Yeah, there's some good stuff in there, and some people are nice and kind until somebody comes along and slaps them. But look at the world. And just, you know, for yourself and ask, okay, is this what a great apostasy would be looking like? Is this what, you know, this description of how people are? Does this describe how people in general are? If I were to look at the world, our society, is this how people are acting in general? It might be that we are actively engaged in this great apostasy. My personal opinion is, yeah, we are. There's more to go, though. I really feel like the apostasy is still could get a little worse. You know, as bad as you might come to believe that it is, I feel like it can get a little bit worse. Where in that equation Jesus decides enough's enough and comes back and gets us, I can't tell you. But the Bible clearly says the apostasy must happen. Difficult times will come. People will be loving themselves and pleasure more than they love God. I don't see how we can avoid that observation for humanity right now. So, just to summarize some of the territory that we tried to cover, Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is the head. You cannot escape it. The church is not an organization. It's not a club. It's a spiritual body. Jesus is the head of it. Without Jesus, there's no church. There's the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. That's God. The triune God. God's Word is in the Bible only. And by that I mean, there's a lot of other books out there that claim to be biblical books. They claim to be biblical truth. They claim to be godly truth, but they're not in the Bible. So if they're not in the Bible, just save yourself a lot of heartache and waste of time. It's not God's Word. Yeah, there's devotional books, but they have God's Word in them. They lead you back to God's Word. I'm not talking about that. But there's a lot of so-called lost gospels and things out there, mysterious things. That's not God's Word. Regular corporate worship is the heart of God for us. He wants us to get together on a regular basis. And finally, Jesus is the point and the purpose. He's the point and the purpose. So, some end time signs. Just to, again, recap. There will be a famine of sound doctrine. People will not want to hear sound doctrine. And that leads us right into apostasy. People don't want to hear the Bible, so they don't show up at church. They push away from church. They go follow other things. And difficult times will come. Now, those are all pretty simple things to understand, really, right? So those have to happen. They are happening. And they're happening in intensity. I can't tell you how far along the scale that is. Church is not about politics. This church is really good about not bringing politics into the discussion. It's not about politics. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus making dead people alive. Not bad people good. Yeah. Jesus is not about social issues. Church is not about social issues. So all the political things that are being fought over, that's not what church is about. Yeah, as Christians, we may have opinions and beliefs and convictions about them, and we may use scripture to form those. But this church, we're here because of Jesus, not because of any particular social issue. We don't go to church because of a social issue. The church is not about financial prosperity. We're not here. Jesus isn't calling you into his family to make you a millionaire. It's not what it's about. It's about a relationship with God. God chooses who he's going to bless. He shows us how to live, and he gives us a choice of whether we're going to live that way or not. But you don't come to church because you're going to get rich. Or make the pastor rich. That's the funny thing about that teaching, you know, the prosperity teaching is, as I see it, the only guy that's getting rich in that whole teaching is the pastor. Don't be fooled. The church is not about mysticism. We're here about God's Word, not all these mystical books and things and superstition. Even the Jews had superstitious beliefs. That's not what the church is about. The church is not about self. It's not about you. The church, we come in and we need to be about other people, one another. So, just remember, Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. He's coming for us. He's coming for his church. I got to thinking about that this morning. Wow. What day of the week would be a good day for Jesus to come?
That's a trick question.
But I mean, you know, wouldn't Sunday be a fun day for that to happen? I don't know if that's going to be the day, but I'm thinking, wow, that would kind of make sense.
No, Saturday, that way I can skip to church on Sunday.
You're going to have your turtle church.
We just lost it. A
5-day Sunday is the 5th Sunday of the month, right, Kim? Yes. So it could happen for the next month.
Yeah, that would be a good day. All right, well, praise God. Love you all. Thanks for contributing so much to the conversation this morning. Let's gather around and pray for one another.